Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Good morning.
Feeling good, fellas?
Yeah.
Summertime special.
It's a gorgeous sunny day, so we thought
summertime.
We're going to scoop up all our North London parks.
Just do them all. It's like Burt Lancaster in this film about swimming pools, but
yes,
this is about parks.
Exactly. Got to catch them all.
Yeah.
In fact, I should get the app up so that we can catch Pokemon as we go through. There's loads of them around here.
We need to do that. How do you find out where all the Pokemon stuff is?
Well, you start the app and then you wave your phone around and there they are. But so you're not allowed to do it if you're over 40.
Right.
Actually, nearly everyone I know who's doing it is over 40.
Okay.
And they do this kind of ironic kind of,
I'm really such an idiot.
I've seen one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the end of days, but it's a wonderful thing. Anyway, we're in Clissold Park in the gorgeous sunshine.
Everyone's out and about. Just as we started recording this, I said that the park was full of yummy mummies.
You said it really loud, didn't you, when you were pretty much surrounded by the... Hopefully they took the compliment from their faces. I think not.
Is that classified now as a hate crime?
Yeah, that's right.
Goodness. Yeah. I'm going to be locked up by the end of the recording.
Now, be honest, I think you've already done some running today, have you?
Well, I ran here.
Yeah.
So...
How far was that?
Just a couple of miles.
Oh, look, it's in the red. I forgot. At least they are from two different... Oh, that's no good.
They're two different London marathons. Okay. That's quite a nice little compare to contrast, Rob.
Yeah, last night, I guess.
I mean, should we...
London. And this is 2010 and 2016, I think. And I still think it's enough. Two red tops and the little microphones. We do look like we're trying to start a cult.
Yeah. I think people know that we're pretty serious.
One day soon, we are both going to wear our red and blue ones. And
people know that we've run marathons.
That's right.
And they know that we're talking about it.
Yeah. But they also know that we're taking orders for burgers. So, yeah, how was your run this morning?
Well, it was just a quick one here. I'm a little bit hungover.
Yep.
The definite pattern has reasserted itself. Sunday drinking.
When he says reasserted itself, when did you ever not do that?
Well, it went for... Cheeky. It went for about a month when my wife stopped drinking. Good luck to her.
Yeah.
Thankfully, she started again.
Oh, thank God. Through the woods or along the path by the lake. What do you reckon?
Let's go. I always like the woods. I always prefer the woods.
Yeah, I know that about you.
That I've got my drinking partner back again.
Great.
Which is not to say that I drank with her yesterday, because she was coming back from Latitude.
Right.
The younger son that had a fantastic time.
Great.
So I was just drinking on my own of a Sunday evening.
Very nice.
Really enjoyable.
I was drinking red wine with the hawk.
Right.
But she did doze off. So it's almost like me and you were drinking red wine together, but in different houses.
This is how sad occasionally my wine drinking can get.
The hawk is my wife, by the way.
Yes, I realised that. we'll get into that later, why she's called the hawk.
Maiden names for a hawk.
All right. But I used to have some drinks with Rachel, wife.
Yeah.
So we'd get 2.5 bottles of wine in on a Sunday and just...
See,
like,
I think the hawk
through.
Is a better nickname than wifey.
Well, hawkish. But anyway.
Yeah.
So we'd get through, we'd have like nearly a bottle each.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of actively sort of want her to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then trying to...
You like it in the woods. You like to make the wife fall asleep.
Trying to lean over and,
oh God, where's this
and get her wine waking her up again. Because if she'd wake up, I know she'd drink it. But she doesn't need it, because you've already fallen asleep.
Yeah, the eye flicks open.
You don't need any more wine.
And then you have to pretend you were going for the remote control.
Yeah. I need your wine. Yeah. So you end up surreptitiously just stealing wine from your wife.
Stealing wine off your own wife.
Yeah.
At home on a Sunday. It's a tradition we all
embrace. It's upbeat, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, this is interesting, because I had a nice drink yesterday. In fact, I made what was possibly... Cocktails. The best vodka martini I've ever made at home. And we've talked before about that skill being a dangerous thing.
You're great at those, yeah.
But I did only have one, which is... I feel like I'm really learning. But I'm stopping completely, because I've clapped on a few pounds recently.
You have stopped completely quite a few times fairly recently.
Yeah, I know, but not for long.
Right.
I think that also, literally, since Brexit, I've put on weight...
Yeah, I'm blaming Brexit.
And I'm drunk every day. And I went to this, and you remember I told you I went for this band rehearsal last week. By the way, sorry, I'm getting a picture. Look at this. That's like the 70s, isn't it? It's like a 70s postcard. Amazing. This is the bottom corner of Clissold Park. We're still in Clissold Park.
Amazing.
We're going to go around the Green Lanes, just Green Lanes entrance. Look at that.
Splendid.
And I saw a guy running up here yesterday evening. He was going really well. It was really hot. He was wearing an old-fashioned... tennis kind of style sweatband on his head, and I was thinking that is completely reasonable behaviour.
Yeah,
it's not often you see someone in the sweatband and think sensible.
It is nice and hot today, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just love running in days like this when it's this hot.
So yeah, there's been a bit of a health tumble for me.
Right.
And I did this band rehearsal the other day. I had a band rehearsal when I was in Edinburgh a month ago. Joined this new band, and frankly, I was singing really well. Sorry to, you know, blow my own trumpet, but this is a really interesting thing for me as a singer, is that running made me better at singing.
Because
it's the same thing. It's an exercise. It's a muscle you've got to use, and if you use it wrong, you're going to hurt yourself.
Okay.
But if you do it right, you can use it and feel like you've used it. You know what I mean? I used to think, if I felt like I've been using my voice, oh no, I'm losing my voice. Whereas now I think, it's just like... You know, achy legs because you went for a run yesterday. You know, so all my lessons from running.
You know the upper reaches of it, the limits of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I feel more confident about sort of playing against them, because you have to. You've got to use it. You know. So anyway, that paradigm came back the other way when I did this singing last week, because we had a rehearsal a month ago when, like you say, I wasn't drinking. Singing the other day, it's all stressed out because I didn't know the words. And then my voice just seized up, and I just couldn't hit those high notes anymore. And I thought I could do them last month. What's happening? And part of it, I mean, there's all kinds of things, some stress and tiredness and da da da.
The booze.
But it's booze. Alcohol really seizes you up.
Seizes
and I've been wanting to. We always talk about it with regard to the running. But that is the kind of straw, because I need to be able to sing for these gigs. So that's it.
And it's
I'm totally giving up.
Good for you.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. I love giving stuff up tomorrow.
What I really need is someone, a multi-millionaire friend, to take me to a draconian Victorian clinic.
That definitely changed. It took some weight off.
Yeah.
It's a significant difference when you lose a bit of weight.
Yeah, well, because the thing is, you weren't in any way fat.
No, not at all.
So to have someone kind of remove half a stone, and you've felt the speed of that, haven't
you? Yes, definitely. You just feel... I wasn't fat, but it's that band. It's a stomach lining band, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which we all have, but as you get older, it just gets a bit more pronounced. But
yeah.
I'm not painfully thin.
Yeah.
But it's... It just fell away a little bit on my stomach.
Yeah.
And you just... Because it's serving no purpose, that, is it?
No, and yet it's really hard to shake.
It is really hard to shake.
Yeah, joking about the Mayor Clinic, but really, you really need to take action to shift that thing.
You need to be tortured by Teutonic scientists for a week to shift it.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a real fun trip.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of the things I'm doing for tomorrow. It's not drinking.
Any other things? Are you still doing your planking?
Yeah, still doing
press up.
1,000 press ups, 10 minutes planking
side
a week.
Side crunch.
I'm not side crunching yet. I'm eating healthier.
Right.
I've been eating more and more bread, and I've used to eat bread. But since I'm vegan, I've been putting away bread because...
Doesn't bread put on the weight, though?
It does a bit.
Yeah.
So that's coming
I
out
find
again.
I bread a bit weighty. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to keep drinking more cold water. It's good for the voice, good for the system. I had stopped having green tea before a run, which I've done religiously for years. I've just fallen out of the habit. And that really works, you know. It just knocks your system into shape and helps you burn body fat well.
I find a bit of coffee. The timing's right. I think a bit of coffee before runs good.
Yeah, it's the same principle, really. Yeah. They kind of get you into that caffeine zone. Green tea just does it in a more directional, healthier way.
Right.
Having said that, I've got to ease up on the coffee because it's not good for the voice. So I can't give up coffee because coffee is my life.
But it's too good to give up.
But this band thing in Edinburgh is going to be kind of nocturnal.
Right.
So I'll wake up at lunchtime, have a coffee, and then leave it, you know. Look at this, people loving the park.
Have a coffee. Look, I love that guru. Just meditating like some sort of guru.
I can't. Camera's not working. Come on. There he is, Guru Josh. I don't know if his name's Josh.
That was the film I saw last night when I was boozing.
What film?
It's a film by... It was on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's a documentary about an American self-help fella called Anthony Robbins, which you've all heard of. He's that Waken the Giant Within kind of character.
Okay.
Massive self-help fella in the States. And it's this thing called just I'm...
I want to do a little joke about waking the giant within and waking up your wife and drinking a wine, but I'm just calling your wife a giant there.
Waking up the giant on the sofa.
Just she's not a giant at all, she's
no,
small.
She's not, she's quite a slight
She's quite fierce.
Are we going that way?
Yeah, yeah. We've looped Clissold Park.
Okay.
Now we're going to drop out of it diagonally and go to the next beautiful North London spot.
Doing the Clissold diagonal. So it was all about... It was called I'm Not Your Guru.
Yeah.
And he does these seminars called A Date with Destiny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it just couldn't get any more sort of American.
Absolutely.
3,000 people spend $6,000 each for a six-day seminar that he hosts of up to 12 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really involved self-help.
Like the Terrence Stamp character in Yes Man.
A bit like that, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A bit like Tom Cruise in Magnolia, but for both sexes kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a kind of relationship problems, dealing with people with trauma.
Yeah.
And publicly playing out their problems and dealing with it.
Yeah.
And it was really good, I must say. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and did you... Really I mean, was it like a... What was the documentary's take on this guy?
Well, the documentary, it was really positive. I mean, the guy directed it had been to one of these... Yeah. Things a few years previously, so it wasn't like the seedy underbelly of the self-help industry.
No,
it was basically a
celebration.
Yeah, basically a celebration.
A hagiography, if you will.
Yeah, it was, but it was quite moving, you know.
Yeah,
just people changing their patterns, and you know, the moment of decision is now. Yes, now. You know, all that kind of stuff, changing their lives
kind of,
in an instant.
You know,
it was fantastic.
It's religion by another name, isn't it?
It's very cultish, certainly. Yeah.
I watched To Catch a Thief with Cary Grant and Grace Kelly.
Like it.
The thing I like about that is that Cary Grant's old in it.
Yeah.
You know, they invited him out of retirement to be in that film.
I don't know the film. Tell me about it.
It's Hitchcock. It's not his best because it's not much happen. It's a bit low key. It's a bit kind of lazy. And it's...
What's that one where he's looking out the window? Rear Window?
Yeah, that's right. James Stewart rather than Cary
Grant. That's a nice one. Not much goes on in there, does it?
No, but it's a good balance. I think Rear Window is the kind of quintessential... Ties together a lot of what Hitchcock was up to. Because it's quite high-minded and like a talking and stage play-ish.
Okay.
But it's exciting, you know.
Right.
Whereas he does the exciting ones like North by Northwest and, to a lesser extent, To Catch a Thief, and they're just less classically Hitchcocky.
Thank you.
There's a lady on a bike letting us out of the park. We turned right out of Clissold Park. We're going north up Green Lanes. We're going to hit up the reservoirs. So, and then Vertigo is like all right the other way, you know. It's like a, which is also fantastic.
Yeah.
But really still, kind of like watching a painting, you know.
And then
Rear Window,
Psycho and the Birds.
Well, Psycho's
the big
genius
ones.
Because he was, he changed gear for it, you know. He'd been hitting it, he was at the absolute top in the 50s, making loads of classics, Birds, Rear Window, North by Northwest, etc. And then...
The sequel to Rear Window, Front Window.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Bay Window.
Patio Door.
Directed by Michael Bay, where the window just explodes! Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to wait here.
Magnificent Seven Windows.
But in 1960, right, or 59 probably, he was making his TV show, and he wanted to adapt Psycho. So he took his TV production team and made it cheaply, in black and white. And, you know, he went down and dirty. It was like, I'm going indie now. But it wasn't like Tarantino indie. It's like if Steven Spielberg went indie, you know?
Right.
And so Psycho's really cheap. And also, if you watch it again, or you watch it for the first time, the whole thing is in the plot. It's such a big trick. I mean, people sort of know about Psycho and remember this and remember that. But if you think about how it was the first time, the double whammy of scary surprises in Psycho.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's almost impossible to imagine what a thrill that would have been at the cinema.
Yeah.
And you add to that, he built up to that. He got his 18 certificate for being in black and white and being scary. And he just kept doing things that you didn't get in cinema at that time. Yeah, like the main character is an adulteress. But also... you see a toilet flushing and a bra, you know. Yeah. So it's like this kind of, whoa, where's it going now? Absolute thrill ride of a film. I saw it again the other day, and it really is. It's on fire. Oh, they're stopping. Excuse us.
Stop, reverse.
We've just come off. We're next to the old climbing centre in there, which is the old Victorian water building, which in turn looks like a castle.
So we found this the other week, didn't we?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's been around for ages, but we stumbled upon it, didn't we?
Yeah, well, it used to be that one was nice and all visitable, and the other one was kind of unfriendly. Now they're both gorgeous. And let's see if they're still gorgeous here today, Paul.
I'm sure it will be.
But yes, so I'm resetting the health.
Right.
And I also was thinking, it's interesting... I want to get your opinion on this.
Go on, man.
I think one of the things we found out about in recent weeks, talking to Susie Chan and, talking about ultras and longer runs and things like that, is that distinction between running kind of against yourself and against the clock.
Right.
And just running.
Right.
Getting out there and running, see how far you're going to run for. Look, this is the first time it's all full of people on. My daughter's been up here sailing recently. Look at those sailing boats. And I think...
Oh, on the lakes.
God, look at that day. Yeah. That's incredible. Wow. This is the first reservoir. This is the West Reservoir where they do the sailing. So, sometimes you can put too much on your run. You know what I mean?
Tell me. What
do you mean? Like you say, well, I'm going to run this far.
Right.
So that might be your challenge.
Yeah.
Or you say, I'm going to run at this speed. That might be a challenge. Or you say, I'm going to run... and support my friend, and that might be a challenge, you know.
Right.
And if you do them all at once, that can be what breaks you. That's where you find the straw. You know, you think, well, I can't do this in the time I was going to do it because it's too far and it's hurting too much. You know what I mean? It's.
Are you talking about training or racing?
Racing, that's your
right. Okay.
I think sometimes you have to watch it. I think sometimes people are all ready for some kind of challenge, and then have a bad time because. They're just adding one more thing to it, you know what I mean?
So the thing itself.
It's like buckaroo.
Give me an example. So how does this relate to you? Talk me through it.
Well, to back to me. I mean, I'm thinking about in the wider scheme of things, about what, how. I think with Susie Chan's experience, it's her doing her fantastic world record on the treadmill. She'd run 50 miles on the treadmill and didn't even notice.
Yeah.
So then she set herself up to do a world record on the treadmill. And she's like, oh, this is a nightmare, you know, because...
Everyone was there.
Everyone was watching. She's going for a record. You kind of reset the pressure. Conversely, our friend Emily did the Race to the Stones at the weekend.
Okay.
She ran 100K through the Chilterns.
Good
she did great, but there's some people... They beat the... someone beat the course record.
Yeah.
And did it in 8 hours and 20 minutes. She was saying, as someone who'd done it and was really pleased with the time, I said, what's with going for times on 100K? You know, I can just imagine it clearly works for some people. I mean, they did it. But it feels to me like it's one or the other. You either run 100K or you try and go really fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think ultras is like, it feels like it's a bit more relaxed at times, isn't it? But it's obviously one of those, if you've run 100K a few times and done it quite well, you'll start to think... I wonder how fast I could do it.
Yeah, you start to wonder about
it. It's like the marathon, isn't it? You're in the marathon first, not really thinking about times at all.
Yeah.
And then you think,
whatever you get,
shall I beat it or whatever?
Yeah, and it's like what Matt was saying, so you get your own story on it and you start to, that sets your reality and you think, I can improve on that.
Yeah, you're looking for a new story. Yeah,
that's right. Well, if it's Matt Barbet, he's looking for a new story, isn't he?
Yeah. Yep.
Circle's complete. As we look back across the West Reservoir to...
But I think my favourite type of running...
Yeah.
...is just this.
The old dog run.
It's just like...
Do you see that picture I took when you said this?
Is this?
Right? It's like we're in a click painting.
It's just padding around really slowly.
Yeah.
Off the clock, really. Not really... And just running for ages in the sun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I absolutely adore it.
Absolutely. But I also think that for you... I think there's less distinction between the two types of running than for some.
Right.
Because I think you're a very innate runner. You know, it's like you just would be. There's no... I don't know to what extent you perceive that switch between running to run fast and run well and get fit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just running to run.
Yes, yeah.
I don't think they're wildly different things. In your case. I don't know about my case. I'm projecting here. So we crossed the road.
But you run way faster in training than I ever would.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I'd be able to do 7-10 miles in training.
But again, it's not... It is... That is something I've observed that I do rather than made the decision to
right.
do. Right. Turning right into Woodbury Wetlands. This is the East Reservoir, the new gorgeous bit. Look at that. Exciting. Oh, there's a swan under it. Did you see that swan?
Very nice. I saw the swan.
Just getting this picture of Dorian. There's a swan under the bridge. I've lost the ability to take photos on the move today, so see, keep fair making enough, Paul stop.
We can stop. Of course, I'm coming off the back of a smashing through the PB again.
Absolutely.
1908.
1908, so that was a... You know, you put nearly 15 seconds on a PB, which was already a week old. You know, you were already climbing up time.
Yeah. But what was interesting to me was that... What was interesting to me was that I just had a couple of days off in the week and wasn't... It's,
yeah.
And it's come when I haven't really been hitting loads of track training.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
like long, slow runs, taking days off and I'm tired and just like resting up and I just went for it.
This is the place to be. Sorry, Lizzie's at the Coal House. It's the cafe in Woodbury Down. It's just great. That'll be us in 20 That's years.
Me. And also that thing of... trying not to set off too fast and all that. And it.
So, yeah, take us through it. How did you get in 1908? Why do you think you smashed it?
Well, I think part of it was I was a bit rested up.
Yeah.
Like previous weeks, I've done park runs and I've done like 7 or 8 on a Friday.
Do you
Friday.
Want to go down through the woods?
Yeah, let's go down.
We're taking the woodland trail.
I've done 7 or 8 on a Friday, so just felt it in my legs a bit. So I was fresh.
Yep, yep.
I'd had a decent night's sleep. And I was just determined not to set off too fast because I've been setting off too fast.
Yeah.
And you get in that, you just get a bit of lactic acid too early in your run, and you're way too tired after a mile. You know.
Yeah. So I wasn't in a perfect place for it anyway. But I think I set off for the conditions I was in. I think I set off really fast.
Yeah, it's so and easy to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Particularly with a park run because you want to do it fast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very hard to find that.
It's getting
that little
balance.
Ratio, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you want to be... It's that thing about races, isn't it? You want to feel a bit under pressure about quarter way through, tied at halfway and really tied 3/4.
Yeah, and that ties in with how you relate to the other people. You want to feel inspired by them and be racing them.
Yeah.
But equally, if that's not helping you, you want to forget it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had that... gentle, bald, tattooed warrior that I pace myself off, that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing him
handy
as
handy for you, because he's always in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. I see him as the something to aim at.
Yeah.
And he overtook me after about a lap and a half, and I tried to stay with him, but couldn't, but kept him within sight.
Yeah, yeah.
And that helped. I still got out-sprinted.
I think also that it's... but sometimes... Well, two things. One, I think... That it's good also to know the course well.
I mean, it's a real advantage, isn't it?
It doesn't really matter whether the course is easy or difficult, but familiarity with it helps you pace out your run. And I Definitely. Also think being out-sprinted can seem harsh, but you shouldn't have that much left for a sprint.
No, no, no.
You have to remember that sometimes if someone comes past you, it's because they weren't running fast enough early on. I mean, I suppose it all comes down to the finish line. If I come past you, they don't get faster than you, so da-da-da.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Oh, no, it was fine. I mean, because the finish to the pack run that we do, you turn left onto some grass, and then you've got, like, 60-metre dash to the funnel. And one bloke went past from my left-hand side, and then this lad who I race against, and he kind of knows that we're racing.
Yeah.
He's a 14-year-old called Jaden. And he knows I've got his number, and he's got mine. We race every week.
You haven't actually got his number then?
No, I haven't physically got his phone number. But I follow. No, anyway, I try and beat him.
Yep.
So I had this bloke on my left, and then Jaden on my right. I managed to outkick Jaden. The other bloke beat me, and then put his hands behind his back for a kind of reverse high five.
Yeah, high ten. I think afterwards. It's both hands.
Pardon?
High ten. If high it's ten. Both hands. Did you deliver on that?
Down low, too slow. Yes, I did.
Oh, you're a good man.
Andrew, I said, "Well done, mate." Nice.
It would have almost like completely made up for him beating you if you'd. If you just left him hanging.
Got him in a headlock. Just ripped his arm up behind his back and broke him.
Don't do high ten me. You made a fool of me today. Sorry, just in the narrowest bits.
And we had exactly the same time of 1908. So,
yeah.
You know, they're all around you helping you to get faster, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Or doing your head in.
But I do think, well, in talking of doing your head in, I think that it's...
I'm caught in the...
Yeah,
I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go. I'm sorry, but you don't have to hurry up for it. It's just me doing that.
Oh, he stayed and held the gate like a gent, and has lost his time. Coming out of Woodbury Down, if you want to do this run, you can start at any point. It's a loop. We went round Clissold Park, up Green Lanes, past the West Reservoir, and now we've gone round Woodbury Down, which is the East Reservoir, coming back onto the canal, and we'll keep following it round. It's all a bit gorgeous.
All these routes.
Yeah.
So well.
See, I think, and you know, I, on the one hand, I'm making excuses. On the other hand, I was never going to have an amazing park run the other day.
Well, you're absolutely knackered, and you had loads of gigs and no sleep.
That's
and
right. I was broken.
I'm amazed you're even there.
Yeah, and that was, and as such, it was respectable. But on the other hand, you know, I was more than a minute slower than you.
Right.
And that shouldn't really be my bar.
Right.
But I can't help it. We're there together. We're doing this. Yeah. So that's difficult. You know, I think that it made me not use the parkrun properly. So instead of finding some stranger just a tiny bit faster than me and trying to pace them.
Right.
I'm thinking, where's Paul?
Right.
And you're miles away. And I got to the end. And, you know, because you're not that far ahead. I mean, I think you probably had 30 seconds on me before your big sprint at the end.
Right.
And then you did a really good finish.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, so I could kind of clock you around the corner because it's a lap track.
Yeah.
And there he goes. And then when he got to the end, literally, you're coming in for this strong finish into the first, because there's not many. We're up the front of that pack. We're quite a good performance in that group. So I was looking up to the finish there, counting these laps. And that's the other thing about having to count it. The first couple of times, so easy. But then as the endorphins and exercise starts to kick in.
And also you start lapping people.
Yeah, that's right. So it gets really confusing.
And
it must be really harsh for them as well. I don't know. I don't love the lap thing.
I like to laugh at them. I'll give them a gentle spank as I pass.
Yeah, yeah. Or just turn around and run backwards away from them going,
you can do it. You can do it. You're doing really well. Getting lapped. Loser. And then just sprint off.
This is nice. We're coming back. We've just crossed the Seven Sisters Road. And
this is Cracksville, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's lovely how grassy this bit of the canal is. But that's because this bit hasn't been gentrified. And that's why it's also a place where it's really right, easy to buy.
Step on a syringe.
Drugs.
All right.
Sorry. Again, with the loud talking there.
Yeah.
First the yummy mummies, now we're accusing that perfectly nice gentleman of being a drug dealer.
The innocent bloke.
But it's so funny up here because it is a rough spot and it's so beautiful because the canal is halfway up a hill. It's surrounded by greenery. I mean, literally, you quite often see, what's that really fancy white bird? An egret. There's a pair of egrets that nest up here. So it's like, oh, it's like a nature film. And then you see someone, you know, pushing a shopping trolley full of...
just come off the set of the wire.
Dead puppies into the... There's our beloved Ali Pali in the distance. Can I get
that? Ali Pali.
I'm going to wait till we're past that really ugly warehouse in the foreground.
And that really tough looking geezer with two pit bulls.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he's the guy.
Can I take a selfie?
For some reason, I didn't get a picture of him, but he pretty much summed up what we were just saying. He looked like just another bipedal pit bull at the top of the lead.
So you think you need to key yourself off someone or get someone off?
Well, when it comes down to it, I think if I'm going to do well in the park run, I think that I need to do one where you're not there.
Right.
Because I'm using you as a stick to beat myself with.
Oh, no, I'm not that, mate.
I know it. That's not your fault.
No.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. So I'm going to go to a park run in Nottingham
right.
on Saturday and see what I can do with that.
Yeah, I'm doing that one.
Oh, you?
Yeah.
Shaming me.
Everyone, I'm there.
No, I'm not doing one. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to do Manchester. That's my big try meet 19 is Manchester.
Oh, that's quite interesting because I think that it is... You know, I think it's interesting for us to be in the similar ones in different times. So maybe I'll try this knocking them one out and you'll be able to get there at some point. But yeah, you should do that South Manchester Park Run. Love that. That's my PB place.
Yeah.
And when you go there, you genuinely will beat it and ruin it for me. So that's going to be fun.
You need to reframe that relationship.
Yeah.
There's no ruining.
That's easy.
Here we go.
You're faster and fitter.
This is where we can get it.
But this is, in real terms, you know, the fact that you're faster and fitter than me is something that you need to either use or ignore.
Right.
It's so easy to turn these things into negatives, you know.
I know.
There's no point in that, is there?
No.
Morning, Magpie. What was funny about this race to the stones? It was all along the...
It sounds like a very dramatic title.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a one-day 100K along the Chilterns, and it goes... There's some really ancient, you know, really prehistoric place along there. They've got the Icknield Way and the Rollwright Stones.
Right.
And all these, you know, really ancient... It's because not that far out of London, you know.
Right.
It's an incredible place.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Yeah, that's a bit of a...
It's pretty...
after-school club down here,
it is. It is.
Now, those guys definitely aren't doing parkruns as fast as you.
It's pretty raw, Andy.
Yeah, if we weren't running, we'd still be running now. Get away!
If only we could get a photo of those moments.
I really wanted to come out this Sunday and recommend it to anyone, but if you are thinking of doing it, just remember that this bit is really rough.
Do it quick.
It's not very long, this bit, though. You just come around this grassy corner,
but it seems past to a last few crackheads,
and then it's across Green Lanes into Finsbury Park.
So this runs to the Stones, then?
Yeah. So it's all along the Chilterns by Watlington, which is where, near where I grew up, and that's roadworks on Green Lanes.
Yeah.
Crossing into Finsbury Park. And I was in Watlington on Saturday, and I was thinking about that, but it was in such a different situation, because I was celebrating my mum and dad's
anniversary,
golden wedding anniversary, 50 years.
Amazing.
I mean, you know, as you know, my dad's not so well. It was at his nursing home where we did the thing. But considering where he's at, he was on good form.
Good, good.
Yeah, good time. He got it. He was lucid. At one point, it's funny you said about to getting that guy in a headlock, because at one point, my dad grabbed my head pretty hard, and he held it for a while. But I chose to take it as an affectionate.
Right.
Either good. That or he literally thought good. It was his cup of coffee. But, you know, it's all good.
And, it's great that you were there.
And it's great. And, you know, as my mum said to my dad, and I was really moved by this, my mum said to my dad, we made it.
Yes.
And that's it, isn't it? You get talking of the whole ultra wifey.
Yeah.
To running 100K. How about getting to 50 years of marriage with someone you've shared, really genuinely shared your life with? You know,
it's incredible.
Jobs, kids, houses,
the ups
geography,
and
ups and downs, money.
Fortune,
and then later on, you know, they've both done all those dramatic, you know, talk a lot about my dad's Parkinson's. My mum survived cancer, you know, and here they are. And yeah, it's not been easy. It's not an immaculate situation, but yeah, they did it.
It is incredible.
It was surprisingly, and it was a nice place and everything. It all felt very positive, which again, you know, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have thought that was possible. So that's good.
No, there's so much to be said for just sticking at it.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Reducing your options.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about when you got to run from one place to the next, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no option.
No, that's
you
right.
You just got to do it.
Going back to Susie Chan again. I like so great.
Point-to-point races, you know.
When Susie Chan said she wanted to give up in the Jungle Ultra, but to give up, she had to get to the end.
Yeah.
There's a kind of irony to that.
Yeah. That's tough.
So we're in Finsbury Park climbing a little hill.
Lots of people around. Playing football. It's kind of, some people are on just started the summer holidays, haven't they?
Yeah, my daughter, but not my son.
Yeah.
My daughter started her summer holidays by up in a sunny bedroom singing a heart out to Kate Bush.
Like.
That's the way to do it.
Great image.
Well, I think the other thing about going back to sort of like the long game and marriage and stuff is that as comedians, we so often hear or experience this kind of perfectly healthy and very, very British cynicism about being stuck together, you know? And the other equivalent thing is the summer holidays start. We do get annoyed by this. It's the whole, everything about activities for the holidays is couched in this,
oh my God,
keep the kids entertained. What are you going to do?
Well, what, how are we going to get do it?
We find it so much harder to admit that we love it. Yeah. You're often, you know, in a long marriage with someone, you know, because you love them.
Yes.
And spending time with them
is
a good thing.
Yeah.
And as for kids, you know, they're the be-all and end-all. Oh, no, I've got to spend time with my kids, you know. How do you even get yourself into that mindset, let alone have
I don't
it be
even think they believe that.
Exactly. It's
I think
just
they just get stuck
say.
In the story, don't they?
It's
we're
grim.
All meant to think this.
Yeah.
But none of us actually do.
And I think it's traditional and British, but I think it's been slightly, what's the word, like hardened into reality. What am I trying to say? It's been exacerbated, maybe.
Right.
By, we're going to the right here, but I'm going to get near the lake for a picture of the lake.
All right.
But I think the internet has kind of solidified it. Yeah, so now people get worse and worse at celebrating life. You know, it's like the way if you're on Facebook and you want to say you've passed your degree or done something amazing or got a job.
Yeah.
People say, I don't want to be smug. So you're not being smug. You're celebrating life.
But it's
not. It's okay.
It's also when people are on Facebook talking about stuff.
Yeah.
They're not outside doing stuff.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It automatically leads to a bit more of a cynical mindset.
Yeah.
You've got people here today while we're running around.
Yeah.
They'll be having a row with someone on Facebook.
I bet you felt I bet you felt the same way when you were watching Why Don't You when you were little.
Yeah.
Here we are, look, we're in Finsbury Park by the lake, by the boating lake. Whoa! Pigeon in the face.
Stop the pigeon.
Catch the pigeon. Get the pigeon's rotten leg in your mouth. That was really close to me, that pigeon, wasn't it? I didn't just imagine that. I nearly ate that pigeon.
I've only got, like, one summer properly left with my son after this summer.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, obviously, there's going to be other summers, but in terms of him being there all the time, so...
Yeah. Well, I think you said to me a while ago about how, you know, the Edinburgh Festival versus spending 6 weeks with the family. So, well, you want to
say... No real competition there.
It's valuable time, you know?
But you do both, though, don't you? You
yeah,
take
they
them up with
you.
It doesn't really work like that with my mum. I had a couple of first world problems today, mate.
Tell them, tell it.
Waking up. I mean, we talk about the problems in the world.
Yeah.
Got a email today from the people who look after our holiday place in Devon.
Yeah.
There's only a bit of damp as a... There's damp.
There's damp in your holiday place!
There's damp in the holiday.
Mind you, that does sound expensive.
People are moaning. Punters. People are staying there complaining. We don't think it is damp because we had a damp course. We think there's a few options. The boiler might need something doing to it. Or, possibly the worst case scenario, rats.
Oh!
Yeah.
Underground, rats. Overground, wandering
or more,
free.
Or to be more precise,
rats!
Rats urinating in the attic.
Ooh. Morning, magpies. As I look at these two magpies and see the sun on Finsbury Park,
I know what we'll
London
do for the
spread
summer.
In front of me like a carpet.
Let's rent that lovely coastal cottage with the smell of rat's urine.
What was the name of that cottage?
Yeah.
Oh, Ratwee Cottage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That should be really nice. Can't wait to live there.
So, listeners,
I'll recommend
spread
this to all my mates.
Tonkinson's Ratwee Cottage.
Anyone want
now
a holiday
available.
Rental? Give us a shout.
If you want to go down there, urine.
Oh, no, the wrong word to use. Wrong word to use. That's actually a good one.
Word placing.
So we try to sort that out. Problems, mate, problems.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got people on it.
Yeah, it's
but
good.
It's the last experience you want to give people, is it? They spend all year saving for this holiday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They don't need that. So I'd like to apologise to them.
Finsbury Park. There's someone going a bit of road. It's like, in the Finsbury Park.
Shame we've got that noise.
It is a shame. It is a bit lovely. And we're coming downhill now. Nice greenery up and right between here and the railway. A few people living up at the top there. So that's nice, in the bivouacs.
So we've kind of, I haven't actually booked it yet.
Yeah.
But we've kind of made a decision to do a training ultra, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we're going to run the Thames Path.
Yeah.
Ultra. It's actually, you can do 100K, you can do 250Ks over 2 days.
Right.
But we'll just do...
We'll just do the 150.
What do you think, the second one on the Sunday? If we do the second one, then some people seeing us will assume we did both.
Yes.
And that'd be nice.
That'd be good. They're looking fresh, those guys.
No, I think it's quite interesting. I think the two things here, it's really interesting for me in my mindset, because as you know, there's no part of me chasing the ultra. I'm very old-fashioned with the idea that a marathon is like, oh, a marathon, that's as far as you can run. And when other people, you know, when comedians run 200 miles or 30 marathons, or when people do ultras and things, I think it kind of basically doesn't compute.
Right.
I don't have a relationship with it. I don't even really think, oh, I don't want to do that. I just kind of think it's nothing to do
with
me.
Don't even think about it. Yeah.
But having said that, what you suggested... Is this ultra 50K? So what are we talking
about?
30 miles?
Yeah.
As a training run for a marathon. So we're still in the marathon mindset zone. And in that context, we're going across in front of Finsbury Park Station, by the way.
It sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
It's not the most picturesque part of the
run. That's the Arsenal shop.
Me and you in Finsbury Park in the Arsenal shop. Big smiles. Lovely.
It's hard to smile with you. We're close to the Arsenal.
Big fan. He's a big fan.
Whoa.
But we're going to... This is actually good. We'll stop for a second because we're crossing the road again and we're going to go up this kind of secret thing. If you've been to Finsbury Park...
Here we go. We can walk this.
You might have... Yeah, let's go. This little staircase by Finsbury Park, you probably don't even know where it goes. But if you're running or walking...
This is a nice little...
It's a secret wonder.
Little snicket.
Yeah. Good use of snicket. You can take the man out of Yorkshire.
So it's a snicket.
My last several runs... I've run great for 20 miles.
Yeah.
And then faded, doesn't even catch it, you know, just disappeared.
Yeah.
So the idea of running a gentle 30 miles
just to get
before running a hard 26 miles, it seems like a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to test the idea with it. I'll ask the old fella down at Heathside whether I've read it in a couple of books suggesting it. It kind of makes intellectual sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're going to be tired for about 5 days afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. And also for me, I mean, I'm a slow recoverer. I want to do a 20-mile run for a marathon as well, but that would even be before that.
Yes.
And it's exactly a month before Yorkshire.
So I think it kind of fits.
It's the thing to do.
And it would be like this.
Yeah.
Maybe even fractionally slower.
Yeah, absolutely.
For 30 miles.
Make the decision to do that.
Yeah, for 30 miles. So it's It's kind of off the clock. It's like experience, isn't
and
it?
Listeners will think those guys should go back to their 20-mile run and try and work on some of the things there.
Rob, when am I going to get some water? Is there going to be water?
Are we stopping?
Why do you not want water?
It's hilarious, isn't it, how we're talking about it, when in fact it's going to be absolutely exhausting.
It's going to be a nightmare.
I mean, it's like you say it, don't you? You say 30 miles and really it's only 3 tenths. But it just gets harder, doesn't it?
Using my own words against
No, but I kind of... But it gets harder, obviously, the further it goes, which is why we're going to have to work. And also, running it slower makes it last longer, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, you want it to be over and done with as quickly as possible. Don't want to go too slow.
So it's going to be hard to... It's going to be our first one. We're going to make massive mistakes, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Any tips starting now, please let us know.
Gratefully received.
We want to know.
More
and
about
equally, if you're thinking about it, come and join us. Let's all do it together. And
down the towpath, yeah.
So this is the beautiful... secret bit of countryside hidden between Finsbury Park and Highbury Field. Look at that. That's the Emirates there ahead. But look at this land here. Just between the Gillespie Road and the railway. Up those secret steps in Finsbury Park.
Suddenly, you're in it.
That thing, though, about saying, yeah, we'll do that, it'd be great. And sort of recognising with your front brain what a nightmare it'll be. I think that's the human condition.
Yeah.
I think that's how ambition has evolved. I think the never mind survival of the fittest.
Survival of the stupidest.
It's why survival of the people with a slight gap in their imagination.
Yes.
We've evolved to not quite be able to conceive the magnitude.
The optimists.
Of the plans we're going to take on. So we're like, I can do that.
That'd be great. So that's just like a day out.
You know, it's like lying on your CV. I'll be able to do that job.
Even though... I've never done it before, and always, after 26 miles, I've always been weeping in relief to stop.
Yeah, that's right. You know, come to the end of my first marathon, I said never again. And
but the idea
on
is...
On one level, I was right.
The idea is the pace, isn't it?
Yeah.
The pace, because that's the thing with a marathon, there's pace considerations.
Yeah, and even though it might become quite a tough listen for you, dear listener...
I actually think that we
should do this for our sake, because it'll help us set exactly the right tone, exactly the right pace.
Yeah, I think we should maybe...
Be a nice 10-hour listen for you guys.
I think we should record every second hour or something.
Every second of every pace of every moment of the day. Yeah.
Be quite funny to contrast the first hour with the third.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the fifth, you know.
No, I think for...
The delirium.
For their sake, we should check in every now and again.
Yeah.
Rather than just relentlessly inflict.
Yeah.
What do you think when we're not recording?
Immediate gibberish.
Should we just talk chat or should we run along in tense silence like this? I hate him. Idiot. This was his idea.
Muttering at each other. Monastic monks.
They're the best kind of monks, aren't
they? Yeah. Mr. Monastic.
That's right. We're going to run 50k and at around 25:30. I'm going to be pedantic about your tautology. How's that going to work out for
That's
you?
That's not going to be irritating. As the blood sugar drains from my body.
Yeah. But also, you know, going back to that thing,
there's going to be a lot of food on that day. a lot of the feeding stations apparently
for
in
you,
ultras are fantastic.
I say, going back to this thing about being an innate runner, I think you want to take an ultras purely as an excuse to eat and run at the same time.
Yeah, I do like that.
You know, you're allowed to eat in life.
I like that. I wonder whether it's... I was thinking of it last night when I was a little bit tipsy.
Oh, look, Arsenal. You love Arsenal.
Arsenal again.
Yeah, he loves
it. Gunners.
It's your favourite.
Oh, we love the Gunners.
Who do you support?
I support Man United.
I know, I should know.
All right, mate. I think he stopped for a photo then.
I've got a picture of you next to your favourite club.
It's that... when I was watching this guru thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is all about healing and people wanting to be healed.
Yeah.
And it's that running as healing thing, isn't it?
Yep.
And it's... you know, I'm sure... People get into ultras often run for some sort of meditative healing purpose, don't they? To get beyond, inflicts a bit of suffering on themselves to get beyond the concepts of suffering in total. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No,
I think arrive also, at this place.
Running is definitely meditative. You know, you're looking to kind of, if not transcend, then at least slough off the person you were at the beginning of the run to take on a slightly different person at the end of it.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, The thing about doing a marathon, if you're fit enough, and I felt this envy for someone who kind of runs the London Marathon once and kind of never runs at any other point. That's what they're doing, isn't it? They kind of break themselves on the wheel of the marathon. Mm. And it's a transcendent experience. I mean, it's really going to hurt.
Yeah.
But they'll never forget it. And it's like a beacon in their life. Whereas we've got ourselves to the point where it's like, yeah, I'll do London again. And it's really tough. It's 26 miles, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
But part of the psychology of it is going, it's just a run. You'll be done by lunchtime.
Yeah, you've done it before.
And an ultra doesn't allow you to do that.
No.
You're going to have to transcend a little bit.
It's
probably quite literally transcending pain.
It's a day in itself, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. The same also, when people sit in cross-legged, and you know, part of the meditation. I don't really get that, but if you go to like an ashram or something, and you sit in the lotus position and meditate,
it hurts afterwards.
It hurts, and then your guru's going to say, you know, when you've got agonising pain in your hip and you want to move,
don't.
Yeah, use that.
Yeah. That's what the Zen. I used to do a bit of Zen meditation.
Yeah, and but that was Zen.
This is now. But they used to, you've got to stay in the same position. And some of those monks, not with me, but in the proper Zen
places. Are they monastic monks?
They'll go around just hitting, smashing people with bamboo sticks if they start to move.
Give me a big smile in front of the Arsenal sign. I want to get you in your big thumbs up for the arse. That was perfect.
But I also think that sometimes people get into running just simply because there's stuff in their life that they need to deal with, and it's the best way of doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, just a physical, someone's died, a relationship's ended.
Yeah,
there's something they can't handle.
Well, I got
it's
into
that free thing, isn't it? It's
absolutely. I mean, I think I got into running as an exercise because of my mum not being well, and I got into distance running for charity because my dad wasn't well. So it's so obviously therapy for me on those issues. And so many people we've spoken to say, you know, this happened.
Yeah.
And they did it, and it helped them.
Yeah.
I mean, I can just think, I almost can't think of anyone I know. You're like the exception in a way, as someone who's always been a runner and just came to it.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I started running when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because things weren't very good at home.
Yeah, so
so I used to run, and it would get me out of the house.
Yeah,
so it was literally escape, and also something that I loved doing. So it kind of fitted there.
You just got there earlier than someone
else.
But it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that when I did, again, I've told you this before, but when the Boston bombing happened just before my second London Marathon, and I thought, that's so horrible, it just spoils it. And on the day, you just think, no, that's the alchemy of the marathon. It's millions of people turning this misery into a positive.
Yes.
And also millions of individuals turning their individual experience into something communal. It's pretty special.
Well, it's why park runs are special, aren't they? Just any little thing like that. It's just...
Yeah, it's like a...
You're joining a community. It's free. It's a real laugh.
Yep.
And it just couldn't be healthier, could it?
You know? Yeah, it's got everything that a marathon's got, but it's all done by 10 on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Talking of park runs.
Here we are.
That was beautiful timing. That was like, you're like a radio DJ. Because we just ran into...
Great segue. Park run section of the show.
So we've just come in across the north side of Highbury Fields. Gorgeous. Where I filmed my Running Man video. You remember that one? And we're going to loop Highbury Field now, which is a very nice spot. So, and that's our park run. We do it five times round.
I'll have to reenact the last 60 metre sprint.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'll film you. I'll watch you doing it.
Yeah.
I can do the commentary on it.
Then another first world problem.
Damn right.
Along with the...
rat urine.
Along with the rat urine.
The rat urine in your holiday home. Let me put the webpage here.
We were greeted upon arrival at the cottage with a distinct aroma of what we later discovered was rat urine. My husband, Graham... collected it in a small cap.
No, that was a different place. You're thinking of somewhere just down the road.
But people are so looking to complain, I'm amazed. But in a way, it's good because it can be solved.
Yeah.
We need to just get rid of the rats.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. Call the rat fella.
It's like a film. Look at Highbury Field now. Gorgeous.
It's like Love Actually, isn't it?
There's a lot of people picking up Pokemon here today. It's a
some good ones. Yeah, Love Actually, or the end of Mission Impossible 2, where Tom Cruise is in Sydney celebrating the fact that everyone hasn't got this terrible disease. But they've obviously overcast it.
Right.
Because there's so many people in the park.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. You can't see any grass. And there's some people playing with a ball. And you think, don't throw that ball! You'll have someone's face off. So, yeah, it's like that. But with slightly less people. So, yeah, what's your second first world problem?
Well, we've...
I'm almost ashamed to say it.
We've had a...
Here it comes.
We've had a walk-in wardrobe installed.
No!
Yes, we've had it done.
It must have been a nightmare.
But it took about 2 years. We had the room, and
well,
then we...
I think if it takes 2 years, you should probably move it closer to the bedroom.
We've had it installed. It looks amazing. It's all the clothes are hung up and stuff. It's wild. It's like being in a movie. And, But unlike being in a movie,
yeah,
moths.
Oh no,
moths.
Rats and moths.
Moths in the walking wardrobe.
Moths in the Eurofinals.
Moths.
Right, pause on moths. This is it.
Moths.
This is where we finish the
moths.
I want you to show me you finishing the Highbury Fields Park run across the grass. Give me that sprint.
Well, it's the turning the corner, isn't it?
Yeah. So you come past this bench where that guy's there. There's the bench.
And then
do you go past the grass,
and then you just leg it up there.
Yeah, I just want to see you. Just give me 10 yards of your winning sprint.
Right.
And I'm going to take a photo. Here he comes. He's coming up the hill. Turns hard left. Whoa! Yep. Very nice. See, whereas I...
You were...
particularly the other day, I thought I had... I suddenly got
you
the
didn't
fear.
Know where.
I couldn't see you among the finishers. So I got to here and I was like, oh, maybe I should be... So my finish was... am I supposed to... Did I... I think I...
You were just...
You're supposed to... Have I done four or five? I don't know if... So it wasn't quite
you were just
the
confused,
strength.
Yeah. You were confused. That last thing
I
you
was adult. Oh, let's stay on the grass. Nice.
So, yeah, bloody moss in the walking wardrobe. What's the point, mate?
Yeah.
What's the point?
What, those nibbling little...
What is the point?
But, you know, it's that thing of how everything
so
connects.
We're launching an appeal.
Yeah.
For my walking wardrobe.
Yeah,
today.
I mean, this your rat urine and moth problem are the two worst things I've heard about...
In the world.
In the world today.
Yes, yes.
Do you know... This
do
place.
Know?
Do you know, Paul? But it all connects. You know, it's been such a rainy old spring, and then but it's all anyway.
My goodness, we love it when it comes out, though, don't we?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
We love it when the sun comes.
This Highbury Field, right? When I was 19, slightly older. Anyway, early 20s, I was living in Oxfordshire, living in town, and I signed up. My people I'd been working for said you should do a clown course. You could go and study with Philippe Goullier.
Philippe Goullier.
Philippe Goullier.
Famous, famous
ex
clown.
Of Lecoq. He'd fallen out with Lecoq and started his own school.
Splinter
L'école
group.
L'école du Philippe
L'école
Goullier. And my theatre gurus, good friends, Jenny and Roland were my directors and bosses. And they'd done this course with him. With like there was a dozen of them in Denmark. Talking about your Zen meditation, you know, they'd had this beautiful epiphany, Rudolf Steiner moment, drama experience where they really learned all about their inner clown.
Yeah.
And they said, you've got to do this, Rob. And I was like, I would love that.
I'd love to do that, yeah.
So I found the money. It was like, it was every week, every afternoon for a couple of weeks.
Right.
Cost £400.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't like going to the moon.
But it's a bit of money.
Yeah, and at that time in my life, it was
a lot of money. Yeah.
It was all my money.
Yeah.
In fact, being young and not really being able to handle my life, it was too much money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I left myself
it put you
without
into,
really enough money to
put you
travel
credit.
Or eat. You know, when I started trying to buy my weekly travel card,
yeah.
I was like, oh, no. That's going to cost me £40 a week. I haven't got because I just paid for the course. So anyway, what
I
happened
can't
was
eat because of my inner clown.
I was getting a lift to London off my friend's dad, Luke Tipton's dad, Kim Tipton. And he drove, sometimes he drove right into town. Sometimes he'd drive to Hillingdon and I'd get on the underground thinking, oh no, I can't afford the travel card. And then I would come here. Luckily, the weather was nice.
Yeah.
But I would come here to Highbury Field and wait for 5 hours for the course to start. Totally alone.
Nice.
With no, not really any money for food.
Good time management.
Sometimes I would cadge cigarettes off people.
And just tramping.
And hacking,
just tramping for the day.
Trying to kill time by reading books, which in turn I'd picked up in charity shops and was picking, you know, I read Serpico at that time.
Great book.
Which is a good book.
I read Serpico, yeah.
I don't know, I wish that Harry Potter had been invented. That would have drawn my attention better. But so I lay here on Highbury Field, smoking a cadge cigarette,
reading Serpico, trying to say to myself, this is good, this is a great thing to be doing.
Yeah.
Just a few more hours and it will start.
What an image.
And then I went to the course and it was oversubscribed and there was no real connection. You know, I had quiffy hair then like I have now. And when he said to me, he gave us all a costume to go and source and find. He said to you, you're going to be Tintin. And I was like,
really?
He's only seen my hair.
Yeah.
That's all he knows about
this
me.
This bloke. This inner clown bloke.
And it was a real mistake. And what I love is that thing, and London does that for us, is that thing of when you're a younger person, London can be a bit much for you, particularly if you don't live here. I mean, it's different for our kids.
Yeah.
Because they live and grow up in London. But, sorry, I nearly ran into the parasol on that lady's pushchair. So there's how we feel, but I love it, and it's home, you know, and they come here all the time. That's where I live, and when I came here then, it was too much for me.
And now?
Too expensive, I didn't have any friends. At the end of that course, I ran back to Oxfordshire and thought, oh, I can't be in London. It's a big old lonely place. And now it's home.
Yes. And you get all your stories within it, don't you? You build your stories, yeah.
That's right. The first couple of times I came here, I was like, I'm going to slip back in time and suddenly be alone. But, you know, me and Julia had our Christmas lunch in Highbury Field once. That's a better experience, isn't it?
Sounds
and what's more, we were able to eat, you know, food.
Sounds amazing, yeah.
That
food
we paid for.
Food that we had. We didn't have to wait 5 minutes.
Didn't have to steal Quentin's bread and have it just with ketchup for dinner.
Didn't have to sauce a costume.
Didn't have to dress up a bloody Tintin! Yeah. Tintin!
So it's desperate times, isn't it, when I lived in Harleston, when I first moved to London, worked at Harrods. And because you got paid like 110 quid a week.
Just that little juxtaposition from Knightsbridge to Harleston is
hilarious. So it was 100. It was like rent was 60 quid a week, which is incredibly cheap.
Yeah.
Looking back. But you only got paid 110 a week.
Yeah.
So you didn't have much wage. So I used to have to sneak in to work every day on the tube but without a ticket. So the first thing you had to do was get on the train station at Willesden Junction, and that involves jumping over a wooden fence and then over the live train line onto the platform.
But luckily you were young enough to not really take that risk to life on board.
But it was like, I knew it was pretty stupid, but it was pretty scary.
Yeah.
And then the other side of when you got into Knightsbridge, you had to do that thing where when someone went through the ticket barriers, you went in just behind them.
Yeah.
You know, when they open up and they walk through, so you just shuffle in just behind
them. When people do that to me, I'm always going to go, here, this man shuffled in behind me.
Well, I was one of those. So by the time I got to work, so knackered with all my law breaking.
From all the crimes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, sir. Yeah. I'm tired from all my crimes.
Yeah.
That's great the way we found Highbury Field in the sunshine. Straight off your first little problems in this general sense of, you know, quite high quality lives we're living with lovely wives
really
and children
lucky,
fit enough to go and do a marathon. But we still can tap into that. We're like Monty Python, essentially.
Yeah.
Used to lick the road clean on the way to school.
I think you had it. Tough times when we first moved here.
And it is how life works, isn't
moths in walking world.
Going back to my mum and dad, you know, it's the primrose path. You know, life is hard. You've got to be Andy Murray. You've got to win when you're losing and win when you're winning.
Have a really bad haircut.
Yeah,
be miserable irregardless.
Have just a massive neck.
While shouting at the box. You've got to be great in life if you can have.
Coming out of Highbury Field past the clock. It is 12:10, as you can see here. Queen Victoria tells us.
Be nice if you could, just like Andy Murray, have a coach. Have Lendl to turn to.
I think he's got a sports car.
Opportunities.
Oh, I've misunderstood.
Just have him there in the corner of the front room.
Yeah, with no expression on his face at any time.
He's mastered that,
hasn't he?
What are
the two of them like when they go to quote a film? Lendl's like, do you remember that bit in Spinal Tap? When he says, you have to ask yourself, how much more black would it be? And the answer would have to be, none more black. No, it's getting laughs.
I bet the banter flies with Enter.
I did the London Comedy Store this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is another joyous luxury in terms of the good things in our lives. It really
what
is.
What was it like Saturday? Saturday night, was it good?
It was glorious. I mean, that's my life on Saturday, right? Me and you did that park run.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I had a good moan about. Went out and celebrated mum and dad's golden wedding.
Yeah.
We came back, left the kids with my mum, which is nice because they got a nice play date with Nan.
Yeah.
But she got someone to go home with, you know, from the nursing home. And then Julia drove us back to London, just me and her. She drove, had a kit, went out and did two gigs. She came along. We went out for dinner. The gigs were lovely because it's a comedy store. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Life is good.
Yeah, really. That was nice. That's a good evening.
And then I got 8 hours sleep and life, I could actually tell that life was good after that. Before then, I was like, why do I want to cry?
But also, you can feel that sometimes with comedy, with everything that's been going on in the world.
Yeah.
Really quite a tough week all over.
Yeah.
You can feel that need for a good laugh.
That's right. And, well,
and we're there for that. And that's amazing
absolutely.
To be there
for that. It's when comedy, we often joke about, you know, I'll often catch myself saying, well, at least I haven't got to do a proper job.
Yeah.
But whisper it in times of hardship.
It is.
Comedy feels worthwhile.
Yes, yeah.
Like something we all need. And equally, it makes it easier for us because everyone wants to have a good time this way, down here. So we've just come up through Highbury Barn. To recap, we've been around Clissold Park, Woodbury Down Reservoirs, into Finsbury Park, along the secret path to Arsenal.
The secret
path. Through to Highbury Field and loop round, through Highbury Barn and then hard right down the hill. Back to Clissold Park, we're not there yet. But and it's all just this gorgeous sunshine. It's like being by the seaside.
Amazing day, too. Yeah. But it also cheers me up. The fact that they need cheering up and I can do that.
Yeah, there's
it makes me feel useful, but they cheer me up as well. Their thirst to have fun cheers me up.
Yeah, you're not
it
giving
some
everybody
myself.
It's just like a magic penny.
Yes.
Hold it tight and you won't have any.
Lend it, spend it,
and you have so many.
They roll all over the floor.
For love something if you give it away. Yeah, that's a terrible metaphor. When I was 9, learning that song, I was like, for this metaphor to work, this penny has to be magic.
It's got to be a genuinely magic penny.
Yeah. So basically you've changed.
I've just given away a penny. I haven't got it back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's not... Where'd you get this bloody magic penny?
What is this magic penny?
Let's get in the middle of the road.
I went to a place in the Black Country for a gig on Saturday. Really nice gig. The kind of place where nothing much goes on.
Yeah.
You know, they were really excited to see me.
That's lovely.
Like, I mean, you know, like loads of people wanting autographs and stuff.
Oh.
Which is always a sign that...
Was the sign that the old days?
It's a sign.
These selfies.
It's a sign that nothing much happens in that particular area.
Yeah,
and it was just a glorious, like 500 people in this civic hall. Beautiful, just gorgeous people.
What you can't possibly know if you don't do comedy is, it's really true that there is a. You could draw on a map the ratio of central London or central cities. To being happy to be at the gig.
Yeah.
So close, if you're right close to Trafalgar Square, I mean, sure enough, the comedy store kind of belies this. But you go to the middle of London, or go to somewhere around here in North London, it's like, oh yeah, we read the Guardian, impress us. And then you go to
they're not impressed by
Retford,
a comic. Yeah.
And everyone's like, aha!
You
thanks
made
for coming!
It. Thank, I can't this believe you
be
come
great.
Out here. See you. What do you think? Do you like it? They couldn't have been nicer.
No. Watch out, that bus is zooming towards us. Quite far away, but making an angry noise. It's like a Stephen King novel. So, yeah. Joy.
Yeah.
I
joy in the sun.
Absolutely. No, but I was saying at those gigs about, I was saying, you know, with the sadness of the news, I was saying, I wish it was Wimbledon. Who wishes it was Wimbledon? And saying that Andy Murray did it for Europe. But of course he did it for Scotland. And I was saying, I'm going to be harsh about Scotland. I love Scotland and Scottish people. But.
He
was getting big laughs out of basically saying he retained his misery.
Yeah.
He's like, I won it. Well, I still hate my life.
I'm not happy.
He's got the best voice fry. His voice is always raiding over the gravel.
Permanently
and that's Green
miserable.
Lanes, and you've got to wait to cross this road, but that is... Ah, dear. I was turning the camera on, but it was already on, which means I've probably just taken 36 photos of my chest on the way back.
You can't take enough photos of your chest.
There you go. Clissold Park on the corner over there. With Paul Tonkinson in the foreground.
So is that...
Let's go. Park.
We're going the diagonal.
Yeah.
We're going to get run over.
We're okay. Got bit by a car, but car was a long way away. I think, frankly, if you're 200 yards away and you can reach the horn, You can probably reach.
Just give it a bit. Yeah.
Brakes.
Break. So we're just running back to where we started.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. And we'll see how far it was and everything. So come straight into the park on the diagonal. There's been something here this weekend. I'll be honest, I don't know what was here, some kind of fair. But when we went past it yesterday, there weren't many attractions. It looked like they were setting it up. It had a fence and some toilets, but it didn't really have any
things. That's all you need. Fence, toilets and a sound system. You've got a festival, haven't you?
Sold. This guy's got a wonderful Dalmatian. Good work, sitting in the shade with his Dalmatian. May I?
Here we are. It's great weather to be
swigging scrumpy jack with your Dalmatian in the park.
An alcoholic, isn't it?
Yeah, great weather.
So just to be a public, to be one of those who, like, it's at that time of year, he actually looks quite attractive as a lifestyle, sort of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just hanging around all day, just getting really drunk. Yeah. Sleeping it off, waking up.
But, you know, you need your wife around so you could steal her wine.
Yeah. Let's hope she doesn't listen to this. She'll realise what I've been doing for years. She wakes up and reflexively leans down to get the glass, which is now empty. Oh, I must have finished it before.
Let's go across the grass. Oh, no, we can get through. They've done some roadworks in the park to throw me right off. I don't like that. Well, pathworks. It's not roadworks, it's pathworks.
No. On the edge of the... It's sort of like a mini zoo here, isn't it?
Yeah,
sort
of. A menagerie, if you will.
Yeah. You got your deers and your...
Well, deer.
He said, well, just one, is there?
Yeah, no, there's more than one.
Right.
But the
deer, the plural of deer is deer.
Yeah, deer, that's right. And there's some goat.
So you got your goat. Goat, goat.
And there's a lot of dogs. Someone's walking about 36 dogs here, which is kind of
fun, isn't it? These dog walkers are so loaded.
Really?
Yeah, they get like 3,000 pounds a dog per hour.
Come on. Look at those dogs, millions of dogs.
Yeah. It's a real gang, that, isn't it?
There's a guy washing the paddling pool. They're going to need to fill that up, mate. It's the holidays.
Yeah.
That's going to be very important.
Need to get that on. Yeah.
You should get some water in there. That's what that guy's saying. He said, get some water in there.
We used to have the kids in there. That was great. It's great, isn't it, getting the kids in there? In the
yeah, you've got to get it when they've just filled it, when it's all water and hardly any wee.
Yeah. Or sunblock or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, plasters.
Someone's plaster is in my mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's summer.
Yeah.
Thanks. So there we are. So how do you feel about our summer special?
I think it's been great.
It's been good, hasn't
it? I mean,
it?
I've really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Nice and slow. In the sun.
All the... go on, shout it loud. Yummy mummies.
All the...
Yummy mummies! Everywhere!
As yet another one looked at me.
You did it good. So here we are. This is us at the finish line, as it were, in Clissold Park House behind us. You can do this run yourself around North London. And, oh, by the way... We've started selling tickets in real life for the podcast first. Keep that on. I'm talking to you.
I always do that.
He always takes his microphone off when we're wrapping up.
Yeah, and so that's it then. All right. Yeah,
All done. Yeah. The podcast festival tickets are beginning to sell. And there's only limited availability, particularly if you're coming on the run with us. That's awesome. In September. And now we'll have just done the ultra. So we'll be reporting on that and limping. So book for that. That's at King's Place, September 24th. Tell us about your... If you've done an ultra, give us a tip.
Absolutely,
If you think it's a ridiculous idea, try and persuade us not to.
Does it make sense? It's going to be about a month before the marathon.
That's right. And you know, get in touch. We're on Instagram and Twitter, RunConPod, Facebook, Running Commentary, and have good running. Happy summer.
Yeah.
All that
stuff.
Enjoy
it. Yeah. All the good stuff.
Oh, wait. Let me tell you how far we've gone.
Wait.
Let's get that. We're going to find out how far we've done. Hold up.
Really,
don't
really
take
slow
that off yet. Yeah, yeah. We were going through, so we've gone an hour and 10 minutes. Average, 9:30.
All right, okay.
And we've gone 7.5 miles. So there you
That's
go.
That's nice. We'll take
that. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Get with Paul Tolkienson and Rob Deering.